This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Arcola Co-op, you're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's show, we'll talk to the CEO of Protein Industries about what the protein plant-based industry is doing as its consumers deal with the cost of living issues. We'll also get more reaction from the egg industry about the 2024 budget, plus much more, including your market, livestock, and resource reports.
This is SaskAg Today with your host, Tanner Wallace Gribner.
Welcome to SaskAg Today for Johnson's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection and farm fresh water. Fix your water problems. Visit farmfreshwater.ca. The plant-based protein industry is focused on improving the price, taste, and texture of its products. We chatted with Bill Gruel, the CEO of Protein Industries Canada, who says this focus comes as the industry weathers a period of consumer wariness brought on by the rising cost of living.
Yeah, we're in Toronto this week at a conference called Plant Forward, and it's really bringing together the full value chain. We've had everyone from producers and genetics companies to ingredient manufacturers and plant-based food companies. A lot of the conversation this week has been around food inflation and the cost of these types of products at the grocery store. That's not unique to plant-based foods. Right now, food inflation is top of mind for everyone. I would say the plant-based food sector, just like all parts of the food ecosystem and the food system, are trying to deliver products to consumers that both taste good and are nutritious, but are at a price point that allows people to choose these products without being overly expensive. That's something that they're really striving for.
Inflation and higher interest rates have made consumers a lot more sensitive to price differences. How is the industry looking to address that?
This is true for every industry. Costs of everything are rising. As you say, interest rates are up and the housing costs are up and fuel costs are up. And so everybody's trying to find ways to, reduce the cost and burden of consumers. And the plant-based food sector is no different. So some of the things that this industry is doing to try to address that is, thinking about this from a value chain approach. And so what we were doing here in Toronto was bringing together all different facets of the value chain, like I said, from producers and genetics companies to ingredient manufacturers and plant-based food companies. So some of the things that we're doing is trying amount of ingredient manufacturing that happens in the prairie region of Canada. And the whole idea is if we can increase ingredient manufacturing capacity in Canada and in North America, that gives food companies more choice for ingredients and allows them to develop new food products at a larger scale than we have today. That will help bring prices in line that are more affordable to consumers, while also focusing on things like the taste and the nutrition and other things that consumers are interested in.
What else is the protein industry looking to do to help consumers address the cost of living crisis?
One of the big things that we're seeing is companies working together with different people within the supply chain. So one of the things we do at Protein Industries Canada is we fund and support innovation. And in those innovation projects, we're always looking at an end-use product that can be on the store shelf. But what we're doing is we're including the upstream steps in the value chain. So a plant breeding company working together with an ingredient manufacturer that's working together with a plant-based food company. And, as those companies are innovating and looking at different ways of either breeding the seed to contain higher levels of protein content, that has a downstream effect on the processing efficiency because companies are trying to remove the protein at the ingredient manufacturing stage. Higher protein from a breeding perspective means a better rate of protein extraction at the ingredient manufacturing stage, which allows the ingredient manufacturer to provide that ingredient at a lower cost to the food manufacturer. And so if you think about innovation projects with those different verticals of the value chain, we can help reduce and manage costs at every step by taking a whole value chain approach to innovation. The other thing that happens is those companies that are involved in an innovation project then get to know one another. And because the output of one company becomes the input of another company, really then you're creating a business arrangement and tightening up supply chains and creating relationships here in Canada where the ingredients are being used, grown, manufactured, and used in Canada. That reduction in supply chain distance is a really important factor to cost efficiency and managing supply chain integration for the whole value chain.
And what is the biggest challenge facing the protein industry or plant-based products right now?
It's scaling up of that ingredient manufacturing capacity. So your listeners might know of some of the facilities that have been constructed in Western Canada in the last number of years. Large processing facility at Portage La Prairie, Manitoba, by Roquette. There's a large ingredient manufacturing facility outside of Saskatoon at Vanscoy, built by Ingredion. You know, those facilities are measured in the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's large capital investment required to create ingredient manufacturing capacity. So that's not easy to do. It's hard to finance those facilities. And so really achieving greater scale of ingredient manufacturing on the prairies is a major challenge that we're facing. You know, fortunately, we've got companies like Roquette and Ingredion and AGT Food and Ingredients that have made these types of investment, and more companies are looking to do so. I think as we bring more ingredient processing capacity online in Western Canada, there will be a critical mass of ingredients, and hopefully that will help, that scale will help alleviate some of the inflationary costs at the consumer level.
That was Bill Gruhl, the CEO of Protein Industries Canada.
We're back with SaskAg Today with Tanner Wallace Scribner on 620 CKRM.
Tanner Wallace Scribner filling in for Ryan Young on today's show. This portion of SaskAg Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance. Farmers insuring farmers. MunicipalHail.ca. On behalf of beef producers, the Canadian Cattle Association is saying they're cautiously optimistic that the government has recognized the livestock tax deferral's effectiveness in providing relief for producers in the 2024 budget and recognized it as a crucial tool for producers in times of natural disasters such as drought or floods. Jennifer Babcock, the Senior Director of Government and Public Affairs with the Canadian Cattle Association, has more of the organization's reaction to the 2024 budget.
We took part in the federal budget lockup on Tuesday. We weren't exactly sure what all to expect in the budget. And the first thing I searched for was the word livestock to see if we had the livestock tax deferral in there. And there was mention of the tax deferral as well as the Canadian Cattle Association and continuing work with us there. So that gave us some hope. It didn't have all of our asks across the line in the budget. So we framed it as we're cautiously optimistic. You know, we have to keep working with the government and putting the pressure on to get our asks with livestock tax deferral across the line and to do it quickly. We don't want to see a consultation on this that's going to take multi-years. We are looking for some quick action. The livestock tax deferral has been an advocacy ask of the Canadian Cattle Association for many years now. So it is a positive indication that it has finally been mentioned in the federal budget. It has to have the Income Tax Act amended. So that's why we have been looking to push this within the budget. So on that side, we were cautiously optimistic. You know, we need to wait to see what the meaningful changes are going to be to the tax deferral to make sure that it makes sense for producers and it actually works for producers and the real-time needs that we have when we are across the country, different weather risks happening, you know, whether it's flood or fires or drought, and knowing the type of season that we're about to come into again this year, we did put a lot of pressure on the government to see livestock tax deferral in there for budget 24. So in that sense, we are hopeful to continue to put on pressure on this front and see some meaningful change.
Babcock noted that while there were highlights, she also talked about some of the disappointments from the 2024 budget.
There were definitely some disappointments as well. I mean, throughout the entire budget document, agriculture is mentioned only 6 times. It is not, that gives us the indication that on the whole, agriculture was not seen as the, was not given, agriculture was not given the recognition that it should for being an economic driver, not only for rural Canada, but for the entire Canadian economy. With agriculture and the entire sector employing 1 in 7 Canadians, it is a key economic driver and should be given a lot more recognition than it has been this year and in previous budgets as well. Particularly, there was nothing notable on trade or trade infrastructure that would support Canadian agriculture exports. And with 90% of Canadian agriculture being export-driven, within the cattle sector, 50% of beef production goes to export markets. Trade is a key driver for us to be able to continue to grow and meet that economic potential that agriculture is part of. Another piece that we were disappointed that the importance of grasslands was not mentioned. We've been working with a lot of stakeholders to make sure the government in Ottawa understands the importance to conserve grasslands across Canada. And we want to make sure that cattle producers are given the recognition that they deserve for their role in conserving grasslands and all the environmental benefits that come along with that. And if we want to ensure to keep these grasslands intact, and they can continue to have the environmental benefits, we need to make sure that beef farmers and ranchers are compensated accordingly and given the recognition they deserve so that they can continue to keep those grasslands going. So that was an area that we thought could have been a lot stronger. There wasn't really any indication about working with us on grassland conservation. So disappointed, but it is an area that we will continue to work with the government to make sure that ranchers and beef farmers are given the recognition that they deserve when it comes to environmental stewardship.
That was Jennifer Babcock, the Senior Director of Government and Public Affairs with the Canadian Cattle Association.
You're tuned in to Saskag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Now it's time for today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94, brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com to try their low-risk grain auctions.
Another rail strike could be drawing near. Members of the Teamsters Canada Rail Conference, or TCRC, are in the middle of a strike vote. The vote comes after 3 collective agreements covering CN and CPKC engineers and conductors, as well as rail traffic controllers at CPKC, expired December 31st. The TCRC electronic strike vote began April 8th and will wrap up May 1st, meaning the earliest a strike or lockout can legally occur is May 22nd. While there's still some track ahead of the labor unrest, the grain sector is concerned it could be collateral damage in the dispute. Wade Sobkowicz, executive director of the Western Grain Elevator Association, says the risk is huge and that the stoppage will be absolute or near absolute for bulk grain movements. Major water users in southern Alberta have agreed to curb their consumption if there's a severe drought this spring or summer. Rebecca Schultz, the provincial environment minister, says it won't be known whether the agreements need to be acted upon until snowpack information comes in later this month. The Alberta government has announced water sharing agreements covering 4 sub-basins: the Red Deer River, the Bow River, the main stream of the Old Man River, and the upper tributaries of the Old Man. Participating municipalities have agreed to cut their water consumption by between 5 and 10% if needed, and Schultz says some have begun doing so proactively. Alex Ostrop with the Alberta Irrigation Districts Association says farmers have had to make tough decisions about which crops to allocate water to in the short term, and many are looking to focus on higher value ones like potatoes and sugar beets as opposed to grain. The development of Canada's biofuels sector was highlighted in the federal government's 2024 budget announced on Tuesday, but ethanol was notably absent from the list of renewable fuel categories that will receive support. The budget included a commitment of $776 million for a retooled clean fuels fund to drive production of renewable diesel, sustainable aviation fuel, and renewable natural gas, but ethanol was not mentioned. Renewable Industries Canada has issued a statement saying it has serious concern over the apparent exclusion of ethanol among the supported biofuel categories. The exclusion creates significant risk for Canada's biofuel sector, especially in Ontario, and could skew the market toward more imports. The group says Canada's biofuel incentives should be aligned with those in the U.S. to secure Canada's position in the growing clean fuel market. Domestic birds that live in and around barns have been confirmed as the avian hosts of an outbreak on dairy farms in the United States of highly pathogenic avian influenza. An April 16th update from the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service confirmed the avian host in this outbreak wasn't migratory birds, as has been common with confirmed North American outbreaks on domestic poultry farms, but rather pigeons, grackles, and blackbirds. Investigations are ongoing about the exact vectors taken by the virus that led to deaths in several barn cats, a mild infection in one Texas dairy employee, and either positive or presumed positive avian flu tests on dairy cows in 16 herds from six states. China's agriculture ministry says the country is set for another year of bumper harvest of grains and oilseeds, helped by expanded planting of winter wheat and rapeseed, and healthy growth of seedlings. The world's second biggest corn grower reported a record corn crop of 288.8 million metric tons last year, but continues to aim for larger output amid rising tensions with some trade partners, climate-related disasters, and military conflicts. China aims to boost grain production by 50 million metric tons by 2030, with a focus on soybeans and corn, although state media have reported production hitting a bottleneck. Good prices and government subsidies have encouraged farmers to expand winter wheat and rapeseed planting. These crops are usually harvested around April to May. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Saskag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina. Specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan, call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866 and Moose Jaw Truck Shop. The number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit Moose Jaw Truck Shop. Now here's Eric from Precision Weather that says we're going to see the precipitation continue for a little bit longer.
The rain and the snow does shut off soon, which is good. And to your point, it does get colder in the short term. So if you were looking to avoid at least colder weather, that's not the case through the weekend, at least. This afternoon, it is mainly cloudy. We will find a bit of a breeze persisting as well. Highs today only at zero, so not a terribly warm afternoon. Winds to the northwest at 20 to 40. With a gust occasionally as high as 50 as we go towards sunset. Now tonight, it does clear out. We'll find clouds decreasing after midnight. Lows fall back to around minus 10 behind the front itself. Winds are a bit lighter from the northwest at 15 to 25. No risk for snow, at least overnight. And Saturday is actually bright. A lot of sunshine. A bit warmer, too, than what we see this afternoon. Highs up between 9 and 10. Winds from the northwest at 15 to 30 kilometers per hour. So a bit of a light breeze through the afternoon. Clear overnight into Sunday. Lows back to around minus 8. And Sunday is noticeably warmer than what we see both today and again tomorrow. Highs at 15. The winds will pivot to the southeast at 15 to 25. So that ushers in the warmer air from the south and the east. And then Monday trends back towards more in the way of unsettled weather, mostly cloudy skies through the day with scattered rain showers through the afternoon. Highs are still mild around 10. And we'll find more sunshine by Tuesday. Temperatures jump back up into the middle and even the upper teens.
Looking at the normal high for this time of year, the normal high is 14. The normal low is minus 1. Sunrise is at 5:55 this morning, and the sunset is scheduled for 8:01 tonight. Looking at temperatures around the province at this hour, Estevan minus 3, Saskatoon minus 4, Swift Current minus 5, Weyburn and Yorkton at minus 3. Uranium City is the hot spot in the province at plus 3, and Cypress Hills is the cold spot in the province at minus 8. We'll be back with more Saskag Today after this.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Saskag Today with Tanner Wallace Scribner on 620 CKRM.
Tanner Wallace Scribner filling in for Ryan Young today. Don't worry, he will be back on Monday. This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. We're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience, McDougallAuction.com, and by Pattison Liquid Systems. Experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. The government of Saskatchewan has announced a $300,000 investment in Agriculture Manufacturers of Canada to create a mobile virtual reality skills lab. The lab will visit campuses and communities across Saskatchewan to promote career opportunities within the agriculture manufacturing industry. This investment will allow individuals to fully experience what an in-demand career in the industry will look like through the assistance of virtual reality. Over the past 5 years, Saskatchewan's agriculture manufacturing exports have increased by 129% from $364.2 million in 2019 to what was an all-time high of $853 million in 2023. The Mobile Skills Lab will travel across the province this summer and will promote agriculture manufacturing industry careers to students, parents, teachers, and communities. In addition to looking to grow the workforce, the Mobile Skills Lab will showcase professional development opportunities to those already working in the agriculture manufacturing industry.
You're tuned in to Saskag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market in Arcola Building Supplies. Smelltown Lumberyard, big on service, ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Canadian wheat exports exceeded 500,000 tons during the first week of April, with the port of Thunder Bay back in business following the winter season. Michael Wilton is a market analyst with Mercantile Consulting Venture in Winnipeg.
The strong performance was partially due to the opening of the Great Lakes. The first ship of the season arrived at Richardson International's port in Thunder Bay on March 24th, beating last year's first ship of the season by a full 2 days and tying the 2008 record for the earliest opening date for the port.
Year-to-date, Canadian wheat exports stand at 14.8 million tons, or 6% above last year. Durham exports were just over 90,000 tons during the first week of April. There are 106,000 tons of Durham sitting at export position in the St. Lawrence. Meanwhile, Turkey became a major player in the Durham market last year, and it appears that could be the case once again in 2024. Wilton says Turkish farmers will seed a larger percentage of Durham compared to wheat.
According to a recent report by the USDA Ag Attaché in Turkey, the total Turkish wheat crop for the upcoming season is forecast to remain unchanged from last year at 19.8 million tons. Yields are expected to be down slightly, in line with more normal weather. Of this total projected amount, nearly 4.4 million tons is expected to be Durham, up 10% from last year as farmers seek to export a larger share of production to take advantage of relatively strong global prices.
The farmers are assuming the Turkish government will again authorize the export of excess Durham wheat. Wilton says Mercantile is recommending selling 30% of expected new crop Durham at the current price. While the recommendation is to some price new drop Durham, it is a different story for the new crop spring wheat.
We are slowly seeing energy prices increase and inflation starting to rise. In our view, world buyers are largely finished with old crop purchases, and futures will be moved by whatever the funds or farmers need to do. We see old crop wheat prices going lower as carrying charges increase, While there will be little trade in the new crop, while traders remain concerned about weather and growers don't like the values. We would target the remaining spring wheat sales at about 10 cents over the current values, but would not sell any new crop for now.
That was Michael Wilton with Mercantile Consulting Venture, who made the comments in this week's SAS Wheat Market Outlook Report.
Here's the market update with Tanner Wallace Scribner on 620 CKRM.
Tanner Wallace Scribner filling in for Ryan Young on today's show. Looking at your market update, here's a look at the latest grain prices. Durum at $396.56. Feed barley $232.58. Canola down $1.50 to $578.22. Chickpeas at $992.08. Flax at $629.54. Lentils at $787.50. Oats at $271.32. Yellow peas at $474.72. Feed wheat at $233.45. And one red spring wheat is up $1.60 to $303.56. You can find grain prices online anytime at 620ckrm.com.
The Saskag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620ckrm.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn at 842-4574. Now, here are the latest livestock quotes with Heartland Livestock in Moose Jaw.
Good afternoon. This is Travis Platt with Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. This past week, we had a regular cow and bull sale, with the market still strong for these cows. Them good cows are $1.75 to $1.85, with sales up in $1.90. Medium cows are $1.50 to $1.55. And them counter cows are $1.10 to $1.30. Them good bulls are $1.85 to $1.95 with sales up to $205.50. And them good heiferettes were $2.10 to $2.40 with sales up to $2.50. Next week, we have our all-breed calf and yearling pre-sort. And if you're looking to book in or have your marketing needs, don't be afraid to give us a call at 692-2385. This is Travis Platt reporting from Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. Good day and good selling.
Coming up next, it's the Resource Report.
It's the Saskag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Tanner Wallace Scribner.
Now time for the Resource Report for Mazenk Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler with serving southern Saskatchewan for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazenk 306-721-6667. Statistics Canada released data today that indicates Saskatchewan has increased 19.4%, pardon me, for year-over-year growth in investments in building construction. Building construction investments in the province reached $401 million in February of 2024. Investment in building construction represents the spending value on building construction in the province. Adding to these encouraging figures, Saskatchewan also saw month-to-month increases of 96.2% in the value of building permits in February of 2024 compared to the previous month. This was the highest increase among all the provinces. Looking at the markets, the TSX is up over 63 points. The Dow Jones is up over 103. Oil is up 43 cents to be trading at $83.16 per barrel. The Canadian dollar up 0.07 to be trading at $72.71. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune into the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. I've been Tanner Wallace Scribner, filling in for Ryan Young. He'll be back on Monday for Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Have a good rest of your afternoon.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.